Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again. As we start this forgiveness series, I just want to touch on a few things that forgiveness is not. You may have heard the children's talk. Forgiveness is not about accepting abuse. Okay, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't happen quickly. Forgiveness isn't instantaneously. It's not something that we hand over to the Lord and it's gone. It doesn't immediately solve problems. So that's what forgiveness is not. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be delving into the depths of forgiveness. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's safe to say that everybody here has been hurt by somebody. It's safe to say that everybody here has hurt somebody else. So it's safe to say that everybody needs to forgive. And everybody needs to seek forgiveness from others they've hurt. Forgiveness impacts everybody's life. Everybody's life. In every relationship, we experience ups and downs. In every relationship, we will experience difficulties, whether it's in family relationships or whether it's with our partner, with our spouse, or whether it's at work. We will experience hurt and pain, others hurting us, us hurting others, and we will need forgiveness. So this series is for all of us. How do we heal? How do we go about forgiving? I want to start off by saying forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice that you make. And what is the choice that you are making? You are making the choice either to forgive, either to let go, or to remain wrapped up in the pain and the frustration and the anger of that hurt that you feel. The choice is ours, to be free or to be imprisoned by our own feelings. So why should we choose to forgive? Why choose forgiveness? Because forgiveness doesn't come easily to us. Right? It's not our natural choice. Well, I'll just forgive. I'll just let go of that pain. That's not how we are built in our fallen human state. In our fallen state, we hold on to that hurt. We hold on to that pain, and we don't want to let go. So it's going to be a difficult journey. And we'll need to be honest with ourselves. Honest about the feelings that we have against another person. It's very easy to listen to society around us that says, well, don't get mad, get even when somebody hurts us. Don't get mad, get even. An eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, that the Lord said that. Right? So if someone does something bad to me, I can do that back to them. And we will use the Bible even to justify holding on to that pain. When somebody hurts us, they take from us our happiness. They take from us our joy. And so we feel like that person owes us a debt. That person owes us happiness. And we think to ourselves, well, I know, I will hurt that person, and in hurting that person, I will get back my happiness. How insane is that? But that's the choice we make. That is the choice each one of us makes. By hurting that other person, by holding on to those negative things, I will be happy. You might have heard the other saying, two wrongs don't make a right. The reason why the Lord said to the children of Israel, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was not because that was the right way of doing it, but because it was a less of an evil of where they were. The children of Israel were in such a bad state that revenge, if you hurt my pinky, I'll break your leg. Right? There was no equality in it. The things just escalated out of control. And so the Lord was bringing them out of a very hellish space and trying to bring them a little closer to heaven by limiting the harm that they did to each other. But then the Lord came in the New Testament and gave us the next step. Forgive. Turn the other cheek. Right? The Lord is trying to lead us away from even looking for revenge. The Lord is leading us away from the pain and the anger and the frustration. We're going to read a parable and a story from the scripture, from Luke 7. You can follow along in your pew card. And it's a beautiful story. And I encourage you, while you're going, if you're part of your small group, you will read this story again. But it holds so much in it about how to go about forgiving. The state that is required within us as we seek forgiveness. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them away with her hair. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to them, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them away with the hair of her head. You gave me no kisses, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. A story that is very powerful and full of emotion, right, of someone who knows they are a sinner, coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. And that's each one of us. Each one of us is that woman who should be coming to the Lord and asking for that forgiveness. And what are we asking for? What is it to forgive? I could tell the children, it's the letting go. The letting go of something in our lives. Letting go of the debt that we feel somebody owes us. Letting go of that anger and that frustration and that sadness. Letting that go. Letting that go. So forgiveness, if we can do it, offers us a freedom from all of that hurt and all of that pain, if we will let go of that pain that has wrapped us up. A nice analogy to this is seeing a rat in your house and going to the cupboard, scratching through your cupboard, pulling out the box of Rat-X and eating it yourself, hoping that the rat will die. Okay, that is what we are doing to ourselves when we hold on to all that pain and that anger and that frustration. We are killing ourselves. We are hurting ourselves. The other person may not even be aware of the pain that they have caused you, and yet we hold on to it and we kill ourselves. It's toxic to our spiritual life when we are unforgiving. And it has everlasting consequences for us. It has everlasting consequences. We are sick. Spiritually, we are sick. And we need the Lord's healing. We need to follow His path of forgiveness to find that healing. And the more we hold on to the pain and the anger, the further away we slip from the Lord, the more damage it does to our lives. And so the Lord asks us to forgive, to go to Him and ask for healing. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church, from the book, and I had the book. Oh, I've lost my book. It's the book called The Doctrine of Faith, or The Teaching on Faith and Life. And we're looking at the life section. And you can download this book free on the internet. And it's talking here about the Ten Commandments. And it's looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're looking, and this reading is particularly about the commandment of killing, or the commandment of murder. So we read, all kinds of killing mean all kinds of hostility, hatred, and vengefulness, which yearn for murder. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Hatred, anger, revenge, have within them this pull, this desire that leads us downwards to murder. If we let our anger and our vengefulness grow inside of us, it leads us to wishing that person dead. That is the path that anger leads us down. And so this is why the Lord tells us urgently, over and over, in his prayer, to forgive daily, to forgive. Killing lies hidden within such attitudes, like a fire smoldering beneath the ashes. This is exactly what hellfire is. Right? The hells, the evil spirits, love anger. They love revenge. They lie hidden within it. We think, well, this is going, you know, if I get revenge, if that debt is repaid to me, I will feel better. I will be happy again. This is the insane thinking that the hells bring into our minds, and they're trying to lead us further and further down this path of anger and frustration and vengefulness. It is why we say that people are on fire with hatred and burning for vengeance. These are types of killing in an earthly sense. But in a spiritual sense, killing means all of the many and varied ways of killing and destroying people's souls. Okay, so what do you do once you have that pain and frustration in you and that anger for that person? Are you going around and spreading and gossiping about that person and killing that person's reputation, their life, in other people's eyes? Are you treating them unfairly in your continued interactions with them? How does that grow and manifest, not just in earthly things, but in spiritual things, destroying their souls? And in the highest sense, it means harboring hatred for the Lord. As long as we are in this world, we are in between hell and heaven. Hell is below us and heaven is above us. And during this time in the world, we are kept in freedom. We are in freedom to turn towards hell or towards heaven. If we turn towards hell, we are turning away from heaven. While if we turn towards heaven, we are turning away from hell. Now, since what is hell and what is good are two opposite things, like hell and heaven, or like the devil and the Lord, it follows that if we turn our backs on something evil as a sin, we are coming into something good that is opposite to that evil. And the goodness that is opposite to the evil meant by killing is loving our neighbor. Interesting how loving our neighbor is such an important commandment. When we are in a state of pain and hurt and anger, our thoughts are consumed by those emotions, and all we want is revenge. All we want is the debt to be repaid so that we can feel happy. But the Lord is saying, let that go. In the Greek, it even has a sense of send away. Not just letting go, but sending away. A little bit more effort required. And as we know, this is going to take a lot of effort and willpower from ourselves. To send away, to let go of the hurtful things. Because when we let go of the hurtful things, as the reading said, we turn towards the Lord. The more we can let go of things, the more we can turn to the Lord. Right? If we can turn all the way around and face the Lord, then he is able to bless us with love for our neighbor. If we let go of all the negative thoughts, all the hurtful thoughts for our neighbor, the opposite will be loving our neighbor, looking for the good in our neighbor, thinking, well, what are they going through? What caused them to hurt me? Right? Looking for the good. How can I understand the person who hurt me? Change our perspective. Instead of getting caught up in ourselves, we can open up ourselves to where the other person is. What are they going through in life? And how can I understand that and love them where they need to be loved? I want to turn back to the scripture. I've got two sections highlighted on my piece of paper there. The story is repeated. And I think there's an important message that the Lord is trying to get us to see. He asks Simon, well, if the two debts are repaid, the one big debt and the one small debt, who is going to love more? And Simon the Pharisee says, well, obviously the person who paid more, whose biggest debt was forgiven, would love more. And at the end of the story, he says about the woman, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Okay. So forgiveness of sins and loving go hand in hand. We can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, and not actually do anything for our neighbor. Asking for forgiveness is not just about giving it into the Lord's hands. It's about then going and trying to do what is loving. The two go together. The more we are able to love another person, the more the debt is forgiven, right? Because we're moving away from what is evil and towards what is good. The more we can look to what is good, the further away we move from the evil. The more we push the evil away, the closer we'll get to what is good. It's not one or the other. It's both. Letting go of the pain and the frustration and trying to look to that person and love them. The more we are able to open up ourselves and to love them, the more that debt is forgiven. The less that hurt and that pain affect us. So why forgive? That was our question today. Why forgive? We know it's a choice. It's a free choice that is available to every one of us. At any time, we have a choice. We always have a choice. Do I turn towards heaven or do I turn towards hell? What is the choice that I make? So why forgive? Because I have a choice. I can choose what I want to do. It is the right choice for me. If I'm choosing heaven, if I want to go to heaven, then I want to choose to forgive. Why should I forgive? Because it's also good for my neighbor, right? If I love my neighbor, I'm going to want the best and do my best for them. If I stay wrapped up in the selfishness and the hurt and the pain, I'm going to do less than what is fair for them. Why forgive? Because I would rather have the joy and the happiness of heaven than the hurt and the pain. And so forgiveness is about restoring our souls. It's about healing our souls. Everybody has on some level in a relationship in their lives the need to forgive. Is the Lord with us? Always. Always. Is he there to guide us? Absolutely. Is it by our power that we can do this? Absolutely not. It's only in going to the Lord, going to his feet, going to his word, and drawing strength from the Lord, drawing his power, his confidence, his love, that we're able to take that and pass it on. We are just vessels through which the Lord's love and life should be flowing. And so the call to each one of us is to be that vessel, to allow the Lord's life and love to flow through us, to let go of the things of hell, let go of the things that pull us down, and instead to embrace and wrap ourselves up in that warmth of love and the joy of heaven. And so I hope today you choose forgiveness. The choice is yours. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we all suffer with unforgiveness. We all suffer because we are holding on to and have wrapped ourselves up in a hurt and pain and a frustration and an anger on some level in our life. Lord, as we start this new series, will you help us? Will you guide us? Will you give us your strength to face up to the reality that is within us? That the more that we can see the need for our forgiveness, the need to forgive, that the more you will help us to turn away from that and towards what is loving and caring and letting go of the hurt and the pain. Lord, we know this is a difficult journey. And Lord, we ask that you give us your courage and your strength. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.